We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And away we go, episode 52 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Saturday, May 1st, 2021. Yes, you heard that right. It is Saturday, the first ever Saturday installment of this podcast. The first of two scheduled bonus episodes on this NFL Draft Weekend 2021. Now, I have to ask a question. Do these shows count as emergency pods? When I started doing this podcast, I actually had people say to me, you know, you need to do emergency pods when something big happens, when something monumental is going down. Is it still an emergency pod if the pod was scheduled? Because these bonus episodes are scheduled, you know, so are these scheduled emergency pods that I'm doing right now? Is there such a thing as a scheduled emergency? We'll have to get an official ruling on that. In the meantime, nice to have you on board this episode and the next episode, episode 53, all about the Washington football team draft. This episode 52 focused on what Washington did on Friday night in rounds 2 and 3. The next episode, number 53, will focus on what Washington does on Saturday afternoon in rounds 4 through 7. So this is not like a normal installment of the Al Galdi podcast. I will not be discussing our other area teams. We'll get back to our normally scheduled and formatted shows on Monday. Though, I tell you what, great to see the Wizards, the Nationals, the Orioles all win on Friday night. And there's going to be a lot to talk about with all those teams come Monday. But no, this episode all about the Washington football team making 3 picks over rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night. And also have some additional thoughts on Washington's first round pick on Thursday night, linebacker Jamin Davis. This special installment of the Al Galdi podcast is brought to you by John Granlund, a.k.a. John G. You have options, many options when it comes to selling your home. Let me tell you why I strongly recommend that you call John Granlund with Real Broker. John G's numbers do not lie. John G's homes this year are selling more than 40 times faster than average for more money than average. And best of all, they're selling for 99.89% of asking price. You like that accuracy? 99.89%. When John Granlund puts a plan together, you can trust it. You remember what Randy Moss said years ago? Straight cash, homie?
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, straight cash, homie. That's what John Granlund puts in your pocket. Just ask James, who was having a hard time selling his condo, and James said the following about John Granlund. Quote, my wife and I would highly recommend John for placing your home on the market. With our previous broker, we had our condo on the market for 3 months without an offer. In our second attempt to sell our home, we made a wiser decision and chose John. After about a week on the market, we already had two offers. He's a real pro and has a keen understanding of the business and the latest marketing techniques to get a property sold. End quote. John Granlund has flexible commission packages, including selling your home for free. Yes, you heard that right. I've been telling you about this. Selling your home for free. Some conditions apply. To learn more to get the value of your home, visit johngsellsforfree.com. That's johngsellsforfree.com. Or better yet, give John a call now and tell him that Al Galdi sent you. Understand, you calling John Granlund helps this podcast. So you're helping yourself. You're also helping out this podcast. The phone number, 703-537-6747. That's 703-537-6747. John Granlund for all of your real estate needs, and we thank him for being a sponsor of this special installment of the Al Galdi Podcast.
Great cash, homie.
All right, so we'll deal with Washington's picks over rounds 2 and 3 sequentially. The Washington football team on Friday night with the team's second round pick, number 51 overall in the 2021 NFL draft, took Texas offensive tackle Samuel Cosmi. And there's a lot to get into with Samuel Cosmi, but the number one thing is he is an athletic freak. The latest in an increasingly long line of athletic freaks who Ron Rivera is bringing to Washington. You just think about this offseason. One of Washington's most significant free agent signings, receiver Curtis Samuel, very fast, athletic freak. The guy who Washington took in the first round of the 2021 draft, the Kentucky linebacker, Jamin Davis, athletic freak. The Chilean tight end, Samis Reyes, who we spent some time on a few weeks ago on the podcast, athletic freak. Even an under-the-radar free agent signing by Washington this offseason, this receiver-slash-return man, DeAndre Carter, athletic freak. And look, guys like Reyes and Carter may not make the team, but Reyes tested off the charts in terms of his athleticism. This guy Carter, he's a small guy, listed as being 5'8", buck 90, but he, in March 2015, at the Sacramento State Pro Day, ran a 4.44 40-yard dash. There's not a question in my mind at this point. Ron Rivera is putting a premium on speed and athleticism, and Samuel Cosmi is one of the latest examples of this. So this guy, Kent Lee Platy, NFL analytics director for Pro Football Network, I actually had him on episode 40 of the Al Galdi podcast. He came up with something called the relative athletic score. Been talking about this on the podcast. Relative athletic score, RAS, grades a player's measurements at the NFL scouting combine or the guy's pro day, and looks at things in sort of a contextualized way. So you take these combine slash pro day metrics and you sort of put them all together on a 0 to 10 scale so you can compare the guy to his peer group. The idea, it's a good one, is to give context to a player's height, weight, 40-yard dash time, bench press, vertical jump, broad jump, etc. Because every year we're inundated with these measurements and these numbers, and it's like, okay, they all sound great, but what do they really mean? Like, what does that mean given that guy's size, given that guy's position? How about this with Samuel Cosmi when it comes to the relative athletic score metric? Cosmi, in doing what he did at the Texas Pro Day this past March 11th, because remember, there was no combine this offseason due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So Cosmi, in what he did at the Texas Pro Day, March 11th, ranks, are you ready for this? Number 2 out of 1,119 offensive tackle prospects from 1987 through 2021. When you view the athleticism of Samuel Cosmi through the prism of this relative athletic score, which is the best thing out there in terms of trying to make sense of all the combine slash pro day stuff, Samuel Cosmi among offensive tackle prospects from 87 through 2021, 1,119 offensive tackle prospects is number 2. That's where Samuel Cosmi ranks. Cosmi at the Texas Pro Day measures being 6'5 and 7/8 and 314 pounds. He ran a 40-yard dash of 4.84 seconds. He had a broad jump of 117 inches. He did 36 bench press reps of 225 pounds. So you start with that. Another athletic freak brought on board by Don Ron, to the Washington football team. Cosme was a 3-year starter at Texas and was durable. Cosme was a starting offensive tackle for the Longhorns from 2018 through 2020, off redshirting in 2017. Cosme, in his 2018 redshirt freshman season, started Texas's final 13 games at right tackle. Cosme, in his 2019 redshirt sophomore season, started all 13 of Texas's games at left tackle. Cosme, in his 2020 redshirt junior season, started the first 8 of Texas's 10 games at left tackle, then opted out of the rest of the season to prepare for the draft. You may have read that Cosme was a 3-year starter for Texas at left tackle. That's not true. He was a 1-season starter at right tackle and then became a 2-year starter at left tackle. So understand, he did play both left and right during his time with the Longhorns. But the primary position was left tackle in terms of his 2 most recent seasons. And Cosme was productive. These schools, most schools anyway, they keep internal statistics for offensive linemen. Texas does. Cosme, per Texas's internal data in the 2020 season, led the team in total first down / touchdown blocks with 25, led the team in total knockdown blocks with 28, led the team, I love this, in total intimidation / dominant blocks at 12, and entering his final game, had only allowed 1 quarterback hit, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack on the season. Cosme, in his 2020 redshirt junior season, a key part of a Texas offensive line that helped the Longhorns to some prodigious offensive numbers. Texas, this past season, averaged 41.3 points per game, 4th best single season scoring average in school history, averaged 6.36 yards per play, 7th best such mark in a season in school history. So Cosme was a part of an overall unit that was productive. Cosme got better as his time at Texas went on. Cosme's pass block grades for Pro Football Focus steadily improved over his 3 seasons as a player for Texas. 82.8, then 86.0, then 90.7. Now, there are concerns with Samuel Cosme. There is a perception of Samuel Cosme that he can be soft. That's concerning. There is a perception of Samuel Cosme that he gives inconsistent effort. That's concerning. And there is a perception of Samuel Cosme that he doesn't consistently live up to his physical gifts. This is a guy who has been blessed with, again, freakish athleticism, but he's maybe not the toughest guy out there, and he's not the most try-hard guy out there. So those are some concerning things. There's no doubt. You know, we've talked about how Washington can't keep blowing first and second round picks on character deficient guys. Guys who are soft, guys who give inconsistent effort, those people to me qualify as character deficient people. You know, not in the same way that someone who's guilty of illegal acts does, but you know, they all kind of to me belong in the same bucket. And yes, it's impossible to ignore, if you're a Washington football team fan like I am, Samuel Cosme is a second round pick. And we all know Washington has been brutal when it comes to second round picks for years now. Now, of course, does that mean anything? Should that mean anything for what Samuel Cosme ends up being? Of course not. But the curse of the second round pick, if you're saying it's going to continue with Samuel Cosme, you do have some reason to feel that way. However, what I think is so interesting about Cosme, and we'll get to this with Washington's next pick too, is Washington, I think, very clearly took Samuel Cosme with the idea that Washington will get the best out of him because Washington trusts its coaching staff. Washington's offensive line coach is John Matsko. John Matsko was the Carolina Panthers offensive line coach 2011 through 2015, and then actually the running game coordinator 2016 through 2019. But the point is, John Matsko worked with Ron Rivera for the entirety of his tenure as Panthers head coach. Matsko has been around the NFL forever. Prior to his time with the Panthers, he served as an offensive line coach for the Phoenix Cardinals, the New Orleans Saints, the New York Giants, the St. Louis Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens. And John Matsko has coached up a bunch of very good to even all-time great offensive linemen over the years. Among the many good offensive linemen who Matsko has coached up, even before coming to Washington, Panthers left guard Andrew Norwell, right tackle Darrell Williams, left guard Trey Turner, and center Ryan Khalil. Chiefs guards Will Shields and Brian Waters. Rams tackle Orlando Pace and guard Adam Timmerman. So there is a resume with John Matsko that's pretty hard to top in terms of coaching up offensive lines, to say nothing of what happened with Washington's offensive line this past season. It was under Matsko's watch this past year that Washington's offensive line ended up being a lot better than people ever thought it was. Washington's offensive line this past season, per ESPN's pass block win rate metric, was 14th in the NFL, 58 0.9%. For all the talk about all of the sacks that Washington gave up last year, so many of those sacks were on the quarterbacks, not on the offensive line. Washington was actually middle of the pack last regular season in pass block win rate per ESPN. You look at some of the specifics for Washington's offensive linemen last year. Just take a listen to the primary starting five and where each guy ranked in terms of overall grades for Pro Football Focus for the regular season, right? We'll go left to right. Cornelius Lucas, 12th out of 38 qualified left tackles. Wes Schweitzer, 12th out of 39 qualified left guards. Chase Roullier, 6th out of 37 qualified centers. Brandon Scherff, 4th out of 43 qualified right guards. Morgan Moses, 6th out of 40 qualified right tackles. All of this happened under the watch of John Matsko. So I think Washington looks at Samuel Cosmi and says, yeah, there are some things to be concerned about. Yeah, there are some things to be a little worried about. But the physical gifts are off the charts. This is someone who was productive and was healthy at Texas. This is someone who has demonstrated an ability to play at a high level. It's our job as a coaching staff to get that high level to be what we see consistently from Samuel Cosmi. And I believe, Ron Rivera believes, that John Matsko can and will do that. That John Matsko will extract from Samuel Cosmi the very best of Samuel Cosmi. So that's why I think Cosmi ended up being the play. You know, Ron Rivera at his Zoom press conference late Friday night said, Washington is going to try out Samuel Cosmi at left tackle. Now, does he end up being the starting left tackle come week one? I don't know. You know, Lucas had a really nice 2020. I think people are overlooking that. I would not be surprised at all if Cornelius Lucas ends up being the starting left tackle, at least to begin the season. You also do have to wonder about Sadiq Charles, and maybe he's got something to say about what happens at left tackle. Although, remember, last season, the lone game in which we saw Sadiq was at left guard. Here is what Ron said late Friday night about how Washington is going to deploy Samuel Cosmi.
Well, we're going to put him out at left tackle and see how he does. That's what he did in college. He played it very well in college, and that's why we think he's a really good pick for us because of what he does. He's going to get an opportunity to compete, and we'll see how it goes.
There's something there with Samuel Cosmi, and Washington believes it can get the very best out of him at that left tackle spot moving forward. Now, what's also interesting about Washington's selection of Samuel Cosmi is this. Still on the board at the time of Washington taking Cosmi with that number 51 overall pick was the Notre Dame linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Boy, did he end up falling in this draft. He gets selected with the very next pick by the Cleveland Browns at number 52 overall, off the Browns making a trade with the Carolina Panthers. I think very clearly Washington looked at JOK and saw a guy who, yes, is gifted, but also is undersized, and someone who perhaps is going to fall into that Isaiah Simmons trap of jack of all trades, master of none, and we're just not quite confident that he's going to excel in any way at the NFL level. Now, I think Owusu-Koramoah is talented, and I think he can excel at the NFL level. But there is the thing with the guy who the Arizona Cardinals took in the first round of the 2020 draft, Isaiah Simmons, the Swiss Army knife type from Clemson, and he ended up having an underwhelming rookie season. And part of the thinking with that is, well, he's a jack of all trades, master of none. Now, I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think in this pass happy NFL, linebackers who can cover matter a lot are extremely valuable, but Simmons did not end up having a great rookie season. And fair or not, I think that hurt Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in terms of how he was perceived. I will go back to what I talked about at length on Friday's podcast, and that is Ron Rivera played NFL linebacker. Jack Del Rio played NFL linebacker. The histories of Ron and Marty Herney and Martin Mayhew are that those guys have drafted very good linebackers. The Washington football team knows the linebacker position. Like, if this brain trust knows anything, it should know the linebacker spot. And so if Ron et al. Looked at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and just weren't that into him or weren't that sold on him, I'm going to go ahead and trust the process on that one, you know? Because, again, of all the positions, that's the one position that these guys should be getting right, given their histories and given, again, that Ron and Jack themselves were NFL linebackers who had success. But no doubt, first round, Washington reasonably could have traded up for Justin Fields, didn't do so. Second round, Washington flat out could have taken Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, ended up not doing so. Instead, it is Samuel Cosmi, a guy oozing with talent, You hope the desire ultimately matches that, and you hope that Washington is going to hit on a second round pick for just the second time in forever. Preston Smith in 2015 is the only second round hit for Washington over the last decade plus. Otherwise, it is a parade of dreck. Devin Thomas, Fred Davis, Malcolm Kelly, Jarvis Jenkins, David Amerson, Trent Murphy, Sua Cravens, Ryan Anderson, Darius Geis. Enough is enough. Please, Samuel Cosmi, end the curse. Speaking of ending things, it's time to end the way healthcare is done these days. Patients are becoming more frustrated with today's healthcare system, and you can't blame them. Dr. Matthew Mintz is here to change that. Dr. Matthew Mintz is an internal medicine and primary care physician whose concierge membership practice allows for old-fashioned, personalized care in which every patient is a person, not simply a number. So no more difficulty getting appointments, no more long waits in waiting rooms, no more short visits with doctors, no more trouble getting return calls. Dr. Mintz removes the frustration of typical doctor's offices by offering same-day, next-day appointments, 24/7 after-hours access, longer appointment times, and lab work that's done in the office. Dr. Mintz is board certified in internal medicine, has been named one of Washingtonian Magazine's top docs since 2012, recently was named a top doctor by Bethesda Magazine. And if you're wondering about insurance, unlike most other concierge practices, Dr. Mintz can generate invoices for patients that can be submitted for reimbursement by most insurances. Dr. Mintz's office is located in Bethesda, Maryland, in the Wildwood Medical Center, just across from Balducci's. He grew up in the area. He's a big Washington football fan. I know he's got a lot to say about what Washington is doing in the draft. He's a regular listener to this podcast, and he offers a free meet and greet virtually or in person so you can decide if his practice is the right fit for you. Just go to his website, drmintz.com. That's drmintz.com, drmintz.com, to set up that meet and greet, or you can call Dr. Mintz at 855-646-8963. Tell him Al Galdi sent you. That's 855-646-8963. Dr. Matthew Mintz, internal medicine and primary care physician. Personalized care the way you like it, the way it should be. All right, so the Washington football team had two third-round picks on Friday night, picks numbers 74 and 82 overall, and Washington, with the first of those picks, took Minnesota corner Benjamin St. Juice. Unique name, unique story. We'll get to that momentarily. But the way that Washington got that pick was from the Trent Williams trade. April 25th, 2020, minutes before the start of day three of the 2020 NFL draft, Washington announced having traded left tackle Trent Williams, finally, to the San Francisco 49ers for a 2020 fifth round pick and a 2021 third round pick. The 2020 fifth rounder was used on the center Keith Ismail. The 2021 third rounder now has been used on Benjamin St. Juice. As for why, Washington general manager Martin Mayhew late Friday night in a Zoom press conference.
You know, he really did a really good job at the senior bowl. Really caught my eye there. But the guy is 6'3". He runs well, uses his hands, uses length very well. You know, a lot of times you see big corners, and they aren't as aggressive at the line as they could be. This guy utilizes his length at the line of scrimmage. Does a good job triggering versus the run. He brings a lot to the table as far as his overall skill set and his size. So they're definitely, our defensive coaches were very convicted on him and very excited about having him join us.
So what stands out as much as anything with Benjamin St. Juice is the size. He's not an overly fast corner. He at the Minnesota Pro Day on April 1st ran just a 4.51 second 40-yard dash, but also at that Pro Day was St. Juice measuring as being 6'3 and a quarter and 202 pounds. Benjamin St. Juice gives Washington size and length at corner. That's not something that Washington has in abundance. You think about the top three corners on Washington. William Jackson III is listed by Washington as being 6 feet tall. Kendall Fuller is listed by Washington as being 5'11". Jimmy Moreland is listed by Washington as being 5'11". Now, size is obviously not everything at corner. Technique, speed, those things matter so much more than size. But you do like to have some size in your secondary. And Benjamin St. Juice certainly brings that to the table. Ron Rivera, late Friday night in the Zoom press conference on Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah, you know, one of the exciting things about him is his physical play, his physical nature. That's a guy who will come up to the line of scrimmage and be physical, and a guy that will tackle. And you know, I appreciate who Benjamin is. I think Benjamin brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, he does bring a lot to the table. Benjamin St-Juste has a very interesting background. So he's from Montreal. He went to high school in Montreal, but he rose to being a four-star prospect for 24/7 Sports, ranked as the number 38 corner overall coming out of high school, ranked as the number one player in Quebec. Now, I'm not sure how much that latter fact means, like number one player in Quebec. I mean, that to me kind of seems like you're the nicest guy in prison, but whatever. Benjamin St-Juste, I mean, to come out of Canada and to make your way to a Power 5 conference program, and actually in St-Juste's case, it's Power 5 programs, that's pretty impressive. Benjamin St-Juste began his collegiate career at Michigan, played his freshman season in 2017, then redshirted in 2018 due to a hamstring injury. He then transferred to Minnesota as a graduate transfer in 2019, played for the Gophers in 2019 and 2020. Now, Benjamin St-Juste had a good 2019, played in 10 games for Minnesota, tied for the team lead with 10 pass breakups. But St-Juste in 2020 did not do as well, played in 5 of Minnesota's 7 games. He, per Pro Football Focus, had an overall grade of just 72.4 and got picked on to an extent by quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, when targeting Benjamin St-Juste in the 2020 season per PFF, 11 of 20, okay, that's not that great, but 11 of 20 for 184 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions. So quarterbacks, when targeting Benjamin St-Juste this past season, averaged more than 9 yards per pass attempt. The Benjamin St-Juste selection by Washington reminds me in some ways of the Samuel Cosmi selection, in that Benjamin St-Juste is someone who is flawed. There's a reason that he was available in the third round, but he's someone who Washington believes, I believe, can be coached up properly by Washington's position coach. In this case, the defensive backs coach, Chris Harris. Chris Harris this past season worked wonders for Ronald Darby. Chris Harris's stock is on the rise. The Philadelphia Eagles this past January reportedly interviewed Chris Harris for their defensive coordinator job. But this is a guy who can take people and maximize them. Did it with Darby this past year. Did it with the Los Angeles Chargers as their assistant defensive backs coach for 4 seasons, 2016 through 2019. It was under the watch of Chris Harris that the Chargers had not one but 2 first-team all-pro defensive backs in 2018. Rookie safety Derwin James and Desmond King. I mean, think about that. Washington went decades without a single first-team All-Pro selection until Brandon Sheriff finally got it for this past season. Remember the drought. Washington had not had an All-Pro first-team pick since punter Matt Turk for the 1996 season. That had been the last time Washington had an All-Pro first-team selection until Sheriff got it for this past year. Well, Chris Harris, as an assistant defensive backs coach for the Chargers, presided over 2 first-team All-Pro DBs in the same season, James and King, in 2018. So Washington, I believe, has a very good defensive backs coach in Harris. And that was so needed because there had been this revolving door for Washington at defensive backs coach. Just going backwards, Ray Horton in 2019, Torian Gray 2017 and 2018, Perry Fuel 2015 and 2016, Raheem Morris 2012 through 2014. And there were issues, a whole lot of issues with defensive backs under those guys. Hopefully Chris Harris has brought not just stability and the end of guys whining and complaining, but better communication for Washington on the back end, better development of younger defensive backs, and the maximizing of defensive backs. Here's something else too about Benjamin St-Juste. He was almost exclusively a boundary corner in college. St-Juste in his collegiate career for Pro Football Focus had just 7 snaps in the slot versus 740 snaps out wide. So you hear that and you probably say to yourself, well, okay, there's no mystery with how Benjamin St-Juste will be used. Boundary corner. There you go. Ah, not so fast, my friend. Benjamin St-Juste at the Senior Bowl was asked to play some free safety. Was Washington among the teams that asked Benjamin to do that? Here was Ron Rivera's answer to that in his late Friday night Zoom press conference.
Well, again, one of the biggest things is when we get together, we'll see how everybody fits for us. He does have a skill set. And he also has a body type that lends itself to having some position flex.
Ah, yes, the phrase that pays when it comes to Don Ron, position flex. But you heard it right there. It doesn't sound like Benjamin St-Juste is going to be only a boundary corner, or at the very least is only going to get a shot at only being a boundary corner. And then the third and final pick for Washington on night two of the 2021 NFL draft was the North Carolina receiver, Dyami Brown, number 82 overall. And of the three guys taken by Washington over the second and third rounds, Dyami Brown clearly is the sexiest, all right? Samuel Cosmi is an offensive tackle. Benjamin St. Juice is a corner. Dyami Brown is a burner at receiver. Another instance of Washington bringing on board more speed slash athleticism. Dyami Brown at the North Carolina Pro Day this past March 29th measured as being 6 feet and 5/8 and 189 pounds. Okay, fine. So he's not that big, but he ran a 4.44 second 40-yard dash. Take a step back now and take stock of the speed that Washington has on offense. You signed receiver Curtis Samuel this offseason. He at the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine ran a 4.31 40. You, of course, had already on board Terry McLaurin, who you took in the third round of the 2019 NFL Draft. He at the 2019 Scouting Combine ran a 4.35 40. You took in the third round of last year's draft Antonio Gibson, a running back who was a receiver slash running back in college. He at the 2020 Scouting Combine ran a 4.39 40, and now you have brought on board via a third round pick this year, Dyami Brown, 4.44 40 at the North Carolina Pro Day. Samuel, McLaurin, Gibson, now Brown. The need for speed is being met on the Washington football team offense, an offense that has been so bad at providing the explosive play in recent years. You now are in such a better position to be better at that. Now, are you going to be better at that? Are you going to have more in the way of the explosive play this upcoming season? Don't know. Need the quarterback play to be a whole lot better than it was this past year and has been over the last really three seasons. But at least now you can say with certainty you have speed on offense. Samuel, McLaurin, Gibson, and Brown. And how about the trend here? Each of the last three drafts in the third round, Washington gets a playmaker slash burner. McLaurin in 19, Gibson in 20, Dyami Brown in 2021. Now, is Brown going to live up to what McLaurin did in 19 or what Gibson did in 20? Like, we don't know, okay? But I tell you what, there's a lot of reason to think that way. And this phenomenon of Washington bringing on board athletic freaks, more speed and more athletic freaks, right? We talked about this earlier in discussing Samuel Cosmi. He's an athletic freak. The guy who Washington took in the first round on Thursday night, the Kentucky linebacker, Jamin Davis, athletic freak. Pretty hard to ignore all this. Pretty hard not to see a theme, a pattern, a common denominator. Washington is trying to upgrade itself when it comes to speed and overall athleticism. To that end, here were Martin Mayhew and Ron Rivera late Friday night at their Zoom press conference discussing this infusion of speed and athleticism.
Yeah, well, none of those guys were picked, you know, just specifically for their speed. But we, as I said yesterday, we do understand that team speed is really important. All those guys have other attributes that, they bring to the table that are valuable to us. But, yeah, we want to get faster. We want to get younger. We want to get healthier. That's the purpose of the draft, you know, from my standpoint. And all these guys have brought that to the table for us.
You know, and I agree with what Martin said. They all bring it to the table for us. I think the biggest thing, again, when we talk about, you know, who we draft, why we want to draft him, it's about fit first and foremost. You know, does he fit with us character-wise? Does he fit with for us as football players? And does he possess the position flex that we like? Or at least I believe in. The speed is part of the athletic ability. And, you know, we are trying to make a conscientious effort of playing fast. And, these guys that we've drafted, you know, starting yesterday, and into today are guys that we believe bring that to the table.
Yes, and you again heard the phrase that pays, position flex. Everyone take a shot every time you hear the phrase position flex, but it is something that matters. You want versatility on your roster. There is so much to like about Dyami Brown. He was so productive at North Carolina. Back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons for the Tar Heels over the last 2 years, 2019 and 2020, which were his sophomore and junior seasons. Brown in his 2019 sophomore season, 51 receptions, for 1,034 yards and 12 touchdowns. He averaged 20.27 yards per catch in 2019. And then Brown in his 2020 junior season, 55 receptions for 1,099 yards and 8 touchdowns, he averaged 19.98 yards per catch in that 2020 season, during which he was a semifinalist for the Biletnikoff Award. I mentioned the extent to which Washington has been so lacking in the explosive play. So just look at this past regular season. Washington in the 2020 regular season ranked 31st out of 32 teams in the NFL in explosive passing play rate per sharpfootballstats.com at 6.15%. All right, sharpfootballstats.com defines an explosive passing play as a passing play for at least 15 yards. Just 6.15% of Washington's passing plays in the regular season were explosive passing plays. 650 total passing plays for Washington in the 2020 regular season, just 40 were explosive passing plays. I mean, that is mind-boggling when you think about that. Like, for comparison's sake, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they in the 2020 regular season had 67 explosive passing plays. Washington, again, had 40. Dyami Brown can help to change all of this. Dyami Brown, per Pro Football Focus on go routes over the last 2 years, 2019 and 2020, ranks tied for first among all FBS receivers with 15 receptions and 8 touchdown receptions, and ranked first with 606 yards. So in other words, on go routes over the last 2 college football seasons, no FBS receiver has been better than Dyami Brown. Again, tied for first among FBS receivers on go routes in receptions and touchdown catches, and ranked number one with 606 receiving yards on go routes over the last 2 years. There's this too with Dyami Brown. Exceptional hands. Dyami Brown per PFF never dropped a contested target in his collegiate career, which consisted of 49 contested targets. You know, some guys do drop the occasional wide open target, and Dyami Brown was not immune to that. But over 49 contested targets for Dyami Brown over his collegiate career, not a single one ended up being dropped. Some more from Ron Rivera late Friday night at the Zoom press conference.
His catches on contested balls. I think I saw a stat that said it was very good. It was in the high 90 percentile. He's a guy that seems to come down with a tough catch. He had a couple of concentration drops on some easy balls, but man, when he competed for it, he went out and got it. I like the way he runs his routes, gets off the line of scrimmage and is able to stack the defender right away, and use his speed to, keep his body between himself, keep the ball between himself and the defender.
And there's this too with Dyami Brown. He was very much a value pick. ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. on the ESPN telecast of the second and third rounds on Friday night said that he thought that Brown would be drafted in the second round, maybe even late in the first round. Kiper called the pick a steal. So this very much sets up to be along the lines of McLaurin in 19, Gibson in 20, a third round playmaker who makes an immediate impact. And I know that's saying a lot, right? I mean, McLaurin has been tremendous over the last 2 years. Gibson was so productive, really more as a ball carrier than a pass catcher last year. I think there's another level he can get to as a pass catcher. But you've had real impact hits in recent third rounds for the Washington football team. And it's not just McLaurin and Gibson. Kendall Fuller, third round 2016. Morgan Moses and Spencer Long, third round picks in 2014. Jordan Reed, third round selection in 2013. As much as there's the second round curse, there's also been the third round blessing. And hopefully that continues with Benjamin St. Juice and Dyami Brown. And it's going to be very interesting with Brown. I mean, there's going to be competition for Washington at receiver with McLaurin, with Samuel, with Adam Humphreys, with Cam Sims. Remember, you still have Steven Sims. Kelvin Harmon is coming back off having suffered a torn right ACL and torn right LCL while working out last offseason, missing all of last season. Antonio Gandy-Golden hopefully takes a step forward off an injury-ruined 2020 rookie season. So you have options at receiver. Hope you're enjoying this special bonus installment of the Al Galdi podcast as we discuss what the Washington football team did over rounds 2 and 3 in the 2021 NFL draft. Always anxious to hear your thoughts. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. So I do have for you some day 2 thoughts on Washington's first round pick, the Kentucky linebacker, Jamin Davis. I think this is probably obvious, but I'll say it anyway. He should be a week 1 starter, and he profiles as someone who can make an instant impact. Did you see some of the reaction to Washington taking Jamin Davis on Thursday night. Booger McFarland, ESPN NFL analyst, tweeted, quote, Jamin Davis might lead the league in tackles behind that defensive line, end quote. ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller, he tweeted on Thursday night, quote, early rookie of the year picks after round one, offensive rookie of the year, Kyle Pitts, Falcons, defensive rookie of the year, Jamin Davis, WFT. Both are in excellent situations to produce right away. Pitts catch numbers might be low, but TDs will be high. Davis will rack up 150 tackles in that scheme and add a few picks and sacks, end quote. Yes, you know, so much of football, right, is about system and fit. Jamin Davis is going to fit in so well on this defense with his speed, with his athleticism, with his ability to tackle. Jamin Davis playing behind that Washington defensive line of Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Matt Ioannidis, Tim Settle is going to have an opportunity to be productive from the get-go. I think that's really exciting with a guy like Jamin Davis. Look, Washington could end up having defensive rookie of the year in back-to-back seasons. Chase Young in 2020, Jamin Davis in 2021. So I do like that too about the Jamin Davis pick. This is not someone who, in theory, you're going to have to wait around on. This is someone who, from the get-go, should be doing well for you and should be playing a bunch, too. He's got the maturity to handle that. You know, this isn't someone who, like, has to grow. This isn't a Dwayne Haskins thing where you got to baby him along and, you know, we didn't play a lot in college and you got to work on the work ethic and you got to teach him how to be a leader and you got to teach him how to prepare. No, there's no hand-holding with Jamin Davis. He's a big boy, military family, a guy with an incredible work ethic, a guy who's been blessed with tremendous gifts, excellent reputation. Like, no, this is a big boy. This is an adult who's ready to contribute right away. Also, I mentioned this on Friday's podcast. I want to do a little more on it now. So Ron Rivera, at his Zoom presser on Thursday night, said that Jamin Davis had been the number one defensive player on Washington's draft board. And I took it to mean that Washington had Jamin Davis as the number one player on the team's draft board. It is possible that Ron meant that Jamin Davis was the number one defensive player on Washington's draft board at the time that that number 19 overall pick came up. Now, that would make more sense, but take a listen to how Ron said it, and you tell me what you think. Here was the portion of the Ron Rivera-Martin Mayhew Zoom press conference from late Thursday night, in which Ron said, again, that Jamin Davis had been the number one defensive player on Washington's draft board. Ron says that at the end of this answer, which is addressing the process by which Washington arrived at drafting Jamin Davis. Judge for yourself what Ron was saying.
Well, I think it was really about a collaboration amongst a lot of people, you know, not just the two of us. And I think Martin will tell you, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about these guys. We spent a lot of time individually. I spent a lot of time on tape. You know, we had several guys go to his pro day, come back and talk about it. The coaches did a terrific job. The scouts did a terrific job. And we collaborated when we did our readings. Then we came together this week, right, Martin? And, yeah. and we met with the coordinators. Yeah. And we talked to them about their rankings. And Jamin was the highest player we had ranked defensively.
So he says Jamin was the highest player we had ranked defensively. That doesn't sound like he's saying Jamin Davis was the number one defensive player on our board at the time of the pick. I mean, it could be. I'm not trying to say that it's impossible that that's what he meant. I feel like that's kind of an odd way of saying it. Like, you would have said, yeah, Jamin Davis was the number one player on our board when our pick came up. Instead, he says, Jamin Davis was the highest player we had defensively. That, to me, kind of sounds like you're saying he was the number one defensive player on Washington's board, which really is a jaw-dropper in a good way. If that's true, that Washington got the number one defensive player on the team's board with the number 19 overall pick. Now, it's not as far-fetched as maybe you might think that Jamin Davis would be the number one player on Washington's board. I mean, if Washington thought enough of him that he was, at worst, the number three linebacker in the draft, it's not impossible to believe that Jamin Davis might have been the number one player on Washington's draft board. There weren't that many defensive players taken before Washington took Davis at 19 in the first round. You had the two corners going back to back. Carolina Panthers taking J.C. Horn at 8. Denver Broncos taking Patrick Surtain the second at 9. You then had Micah Parsons going to who else? The Dallas Cowboys at 12, the Penn State linebacker. You then had another linebacker, Zaven Collins of Tulsa, going to the Arizona Cardinals at 16. Then you had an edge rusher, Jalen Phillips of Miami, going to Miami, the Dolphins at 18. And then Washington took Jamin Davis at 19. So it's not like completely unfathomable that Washington might have had Jamin Davis as the number one defensive player on the board, period. But I feel like that's interesting, and it does matter. Like, I would be curious to know that. And the way Ron said it on Thursday night kind of left some room for interpretation. Here's another positive about Jamin Davis that I did not make mention of on Friday's podcast. He has been durable, okay? This is a big thing for me. How durable is a player? I always look at this when especially free agency is coming around. Jamin Davis has been a pillar of durability. Three seasons of playing at Kentucky, 2018 through 2020, redshirted in 2017. He played in 36 of a possible 37 games. The only game that he missed was due to COVID-19 protocols, and that game was a 63-3 loss at Alabama this past November 21st. And then finally with Jamin Davis, and this is something that I came across months ago. It's something many of you listening probably have come across at some point over the last few months, but it is a quirky, odd connection. Do you know that a quality control coach for Kentucky this past season was Greg Minuski? Jamin Davis, during his 2020 redshirt junior season at Kentucky, had as one of the quality control coaches on the team Greg Minuski, the former Washington defensive coordinator. He was Washington's defensive coordinator 2017 through 2019. Also served as the team's linebackers coach in actually 2001, and then he was back with the franchise as the outside linebackers coach in 2016 before getting promoted to D.C., after that season. Minuski also played for Washington. He was a linebacker for Washington, 1988 to 1990. But like, when we talk about the defensive mess that Washington has been so often in recent years and how needed the likes of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio were for so many reasons, but you could argue principal among them from an on-the-field standpoint to clean up the mess that had become Washington defensively. And Greg Minuski really has become like a symbol for all that. Greg Minuski, and I guess you could say to a lesser extent, Joe Barry. But Minuski was the defensive coordinator for three seasons. The first season actually wasn't that bad defensively, 2017. Washington was actually top 10 in the NFL in third down defense that season. But the Washington defenses of 2018 and 2019 were embarrassments. And that happened under Minuski's watch. And so I just think it's hysterical that he was, first of all, a quality control coach at Kentucky this past year. Like, he went from a defensive coordinator for an NFL team to a quality control coach at the collegiate level. Now, I suppose it's possibly did that because he wanted lesser responsibility. You know, Greg Minuski's made plenty of money. Maybe he's just looking to keep a foot in the water, but he's not looking to really have anything that's all that serious when it comes to football anymore. So I don't know, but you tell me, how often does that happen? A guy gets fired at the NFL level as a defensive coordinator, and his next job is that of a quality control coach at the collegiate level. Most quality control coaches are like
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Guys in their 20s just breaking into coaching. Most quality control coaches are, as Jay Gruden would call them, slappies. I mean, Greg Minuski is well past the point in theory of being a slappy, and yet he at least had the role of a slappy at Kentucky this past year. Again, it may have been by his choice. I don't know, but how about that? Greg Minuski, quality control coach for Kentucky this past season, during which Jamin Davis killed it, like hopefully he's going to kill it for Washington for many years to come. All right, guys, look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/AlGaldi now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Al Galdi and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Al Galdi now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/Al Galdi. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. All right, that will do it for you and me for now. One day and four rounds remain in the 2021 NFL Draft. Enjoy it. I know I have. The Washington football team goes into day three with four picks, a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder, and two seventh rounders. Still possible that Washington takes a quarterback, although obviously that has not happened yet. I'm going to save my fire on that until the draft is complete to see what Washington does. And then we can really dive into this because I think this is so telling what's happening. And all this talk about Washington liking this guy and liking that guy, and Washington hasn't taken any of these guys. For all of the talk about Washington liking Justin Fields, liking Davis Mills, maybe liking Kyle Trask, for all of the mocks that had Washington taking Kellen Mond, Washington could have traded up for Fields, could have taken Trask, could have taken Mills, could have taken Mond, hasn't done any of these things, okay? So what does that tell you about how much Washington liked these guys? Also, what is this telling you about what Washington thinks about what it already has at quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, and Kyle Allen? But again, let's let the draft conclude. Let's see what Washington ultimately does end up doing at quarterback. It was kind of interesting, right? The run on quarterbacks that we had on Friday night. Trask, Mond, and Mills all going over the course of four picks, numbers 64 through 67. Tampa Bay Buccaneers took Trask in the third round at pick number 64 overall. The Minnesota Vikings took Kellen Mond in the third round of the draft with pick number 66 overall. That could be interesting with Kirk Cousins as the starter. And yes, I did see the video of Robert Griffin III, who's no longer in the league, working as an analyst for Bleacher Report, throwing shade on Kirk Cousins when talking about the Vikings having taken Kellen Mond. I mean, Robert and Kirk hated each other. I think everyone knows that. But the fact that Robert's out of the league and he's throwing shade on Kirk, who's still in the league, making a ton of money and has been a QB1 for years, it's, to me, it's just laughable. I got such a kick out of that. Way to go, Robert.
For me, I go out and I play. I know I'm the best quarterback on this team. I know I feel like I'm the best quarterback in the league.
Yes, thank you, Robert. We know. Also, the Houston Texans took Davis Mills in the third round with pick number 67 overall. But Washington took Samuel Cosmi at pick number 51. Trask, Mond, Mills were all there. Washington didn't touch them. Keep the feedback coming. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com. I know we have a lot of new listeners coming on board with it being draft weekend. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the podcast. That doesn't cost you anything. We pump out new episodes every weekday, Monday through Friday, out by 5 a.m. Talk DC sports like no other podcast or show does. Also, if you can give the podcast a 5-star rating and write like a 1-sentence review, that helps out the podcast so much as well. Have a great rest of your Saturday, and I'll talk to you on bonus episode number 2 on Sunday.
Position flex.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.